This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Food delivery has become popular in the past few years. One food delivery service provider, Foodpanda, saw a massive 100% growth in 2017 and has been in the business for over 6 years. Once a premier name in food delivery, now Foodpanda is no longer the only game in town. They deliver food, but can they deliver growth and profit in a tight market? So joining us today on The Breakfast Grill to answer this question is Jacob Angela, CEO of Foodpanda Asia Pacific. Good morning, Jacob. Thank you for joining us on The Breakfast Grill.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So Jacob, it's a stiff competition, and it's normal in the food delivery industry. But how do you maintain or even gain market share in such a competitive environment?
It's a very competitive environment. You're correct with that. But to be very honest, we really embrace competition and see it as something very normal and something healthy. Historically, we've seen many competitors come and go in our markets here in Asia. And what's striking to us is always when we are in a phase of strong competition, those are also normally always the phases where we are experiencing the most growth. And so as of now, we are very happy, particularly with our business growth we have in Malaysia, where we had a very good first quarter result with hyper growth, more than we would have expected, actually.
So again, the question is, how do you maintain it? What is one thing unique that Foodpanda is doing that enables Foodpanda to maintain its competitiveness in this industry?
Yeah, I mean, look, Foodpanda has been in Asia since 7 years. We are focusing on food delivery since a very long time. We built a huge set of experiences. And so for us, it's really about understanding our key stakeholders better than anybody else. And our key stakeholders are, of course, first and foremost, the customers, the restaurants, and then, of course, the riders which work for us. For us, it's really key about three strong fundamentals, which is we deliver the fastest food with the biggest variety in terms of restaurant selections. And last but not least, really about with a good price. That means a very affordable delivery fee, restaurants with low price point, with mid price point, with high price point, and very accessible for everybody. And what we see in the past is with that strategy really focusing on the customer side on those three pillars. On the one hand, customer acquisition for us works increasingly better. We have a very large number of new customers trying our service every single day. But then even more importantly, especially in the last 6 months, a trend we see is that customers who already tried Foodpanda try us in higher and higher frequency. Yeah. Back in the days, it was normal behavior that a customer orders with us maybe once a month. But nowadays, we have a significant part of our customer base who orders almost every second day, 3-4 times a week. And we see this trend continuing and the frequency of our customers using our service increasing over time.
So, Jacob, you speak about the loyalty of your customers. So let's go and explore that for a bit. You know, your loyalty program is exclusive to just Foodpanda. So if you compare your loyalty program with your competitor, it can be used for other services like ride hailing, payment and delivery services. So how do you stay ahead competing in this space?
There's always this philosophical debate about specialization and diversification. Yeah? I mean, we all know the examples of Google moving into the social media space and launching Google Plus or Apple trying iTunes. So now everybody is using Spotify nowadays or other food streaming, music streaming services. So what we believe in is that this idea of having a one-stop solution where you can order plane tickets, food, ride hailing or whatnot, I don't think that is a winning strategy. Frankly speaking, food is so important for every single person. We eat 3 times a day, and it's a very complicated, complex service we are providing to bring it to a customer in 20 minutes after he places the order. And so we believe this use case is strong enough, relevant enough for everybody in Malaysia or in other countries, that it definitely has earned the right to be a self-standing service. So we try to focus on getting this thing right, providing the best service for the best price with the best restaurants, and that at the end will win the customer.
Jacob, so, you know, to get things right, sometimes you need a lot of investment. So let's talk about, you know, GrabFood, one of your competitors, they have deep pockets. Do you have the same degree of financial backing from your parent company in Germany?
I think we, Foodpanda has been in a very fortunate situation that we are backed by the biggest delivery company worldwide, Delivery Hero. It's a stock-listed company in the Frankfurt Stock Exchange in Germany. We are operating with Delivery Hero in 45 countries, actually, including Latin America, Middle East, and Europe, not only Asia. And the funding situations for us has been extremely good and actually never better. So we definitely have the financial firepower to combat any competition which comes up. And we do that in not giving us any openings. If we see somebody investing, we really drive a strategy where we at least match those competitors. But taking investment aside, I think I believe strongly there's many things in this business which money can't buy, which is a very good technology, very good operations, good restaurant partnerships, and so on. And there we really see many of those very well-funded competitors really struggle. I think a fallacy some of those companies fall into is that if you have a lot of money at your disposal, you start going into a mode where all the problems you encounter, you fix by simply in a non-sophisticated way throw money at it. And we see that very strongly with some of those players in Malaysia. And end of the day, this is not a smart and sustainable strategy. End of the day, investors will look, do I get the return on investment on this? And if not, they will divert their funds somewhere else where they get a better return on their investment. So what we do is, yes, we match our competition or even supersede our competition in terms of kind of funding and investment and growth. But we really make it a point that we do that in a smart way where we get good returns.
We speak about having a sustainable model, and your model is very labor intensive. So, I mean, and it remains extremely high due to your riders. So how much longer can you sustain this labor intensive business model?
So Foodpanda has been in this space since a very long time. And we, in those 6-7 years, we had many, many learnings. And I think one realization is that the last mile food delivery business, how we operated, fundamentally is an extremely, extremely low margin business. Yeah. The customer is craving for a very low price with a very low, if not non delivery fee. The restaurant has only so much kind of margin to give to Foodpanda because they are stretched on their end as well. While then Foodpanda has all the operating costs of paying off the rider, operating a tech team, conducting marketing, and so on. So definitely it is a very challenging environment, but we see that actually is one of our core advantages. Because it is a difficult business to operate in, we really see competitors struggle with that, where they operate and they're burning very significant amounts of money with every single order they deliver. So what we do is, and again, we are doing this since 6 years, we are really focused on running very efficient and intelligent operations. And with that, we achieve in our countries that on a single order level, on a contribution margin level, we are actually making a fair amount of money. And then at the end, if you reach that point, it's only a question of scale. You scale up the business and then profitability, a positive EBIT is in reach. And that's exactly the journey we are on at the moment, where we aggressively grow our businesses in all our countries in order to reach the scale that with our contribution margins, we can become profitable.
So, Jacob, you know, increasing scale is one thing, but at the same time, adding more cost to your business is another thing. I mean, recently you announced a paternity leave benefit to your employees, and wage cost must be, you know, is the largest component of your company expenditure, as you mentioned earlier. You know, how did this added cost going to improve your bottom line?
End of the day, every company has specific assets and specific things. A big asset for us is technology, which really helps drive our business. But I would argue our biggest, our single source of value we can tap into is really our country teams on the ground and in investing in, you know, better teams and providing an environment for our high performers in our operating companies in the team in Malaysia, for example, allowing those high performers and those rock stars we have in those teams an opportunity to grow. I think it's key importance for us. We have been very successful in that. Our employee retention is in all our markets extremely good, but we are not done with that yet. So we are constantly looking into ways on providing more employee benefits and providing more growth opportunities for our team members. I think that's something very, very important for us.
Okay, just hold on there, Jacob. So joining us on The Breakfast Grill this morning is Jacob Angela, CEO of Foodpanda Asia Pacific. Next, we'll find out whether digital tax will have an impact on their bottom line. Stay tuned on BFM 89.9.
You are listening to The BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
You've tuned into BFM 89.9. On The Breakfast Grill this morning is Jacob Angela, CEO of Foodpanda Asia Pacific. So now let's move on to your business aspect of things. So according to our SSM record, Jacob, Foodpanda is in Malaysia, has made a loss of $6 million in 2017 and 2016. Now, when can we expect Foodpanda to be profitable?
A very valid question, of course. Honestly speaking, at the moment, we really focus on growth and market share. For us, we see so much potential still to untap in Malaysia. Our Klang Valley business is picking up significantly, and at the same time, we are expanding to many, many more locations. Also in East Malaysia, and so frankly speaking, our focus is really on expansion and bringing our services to the next level. So
Okay, Jacob. But nevertheless, just with the growth that you're seeking and the growth that you're experiencing at the moment, when do you think that you'd be able to expect profit to be in the horizon?
Yeah, I mean, as being part of a publicly listed company, I cannot comment on that in detail. But I think an important point, which I mentioned also earlier, is that compared to many other players in the region, if we look at a contribution margin basis, we do already, and we are very happy with that achievement, we do already make significant money on contribution margins. So our operating business by itself is already very healthy and very profitable. Of course, we decide to invest a lot in technology. We decide to invest a lot in marketing and in promotions to excite customers about our services. And so we heavily invest in that. But I think it is worthwhile mentioning in this competitive space that, again, on an operating, on our operations, we are already making money.
Okay, Jacob. I mean, I know you spoke about this earlier, about how you are skeptical about how sustainable some of your competitors' business models are. But at the same time, we've seen your main competitor, they've evolved aggressively. They're exploring other services from ride hailing to food delivery, digital financial services, all in search for new revenue streams. Now, does Foodpanda have any plans to offer other services?
So, of course, there are a lot of kind of very natural synergies we want to move into and we want to leverage. So we will be moving into groceries, for example, because that's very, very close to our core business and very, very close to our expertise and what we are good at. And we have a similar project planned throughout the year. As another example is that we are moving more and more into operating kitchens, either by ourselves or together with our restaurant partners, because we learned that this is something where we can create a lot of value for our restaurant partners and for our customers. And other topics, other strategic topics, we're also looking into it. But what we will not do is just diversify and build more verticals and more services just for the sake of it. I think we strongly believe there's a high value of us, you know, staying focused around the food ecosystem, and while offering more and more services and occasions for our customers there, really focus on that part of the life of everybody, and create a lot of value there.
So, Jacob, interesting that you mentioned about your dine-in kitchen, and you're planning to introduce that in Kuala Lumpur. And, you know, we see that as a new food delivery model. Could you help us understand about this new business model, this dine-in kitchen in Kuala Lumpur?
Well, I think it's just something natural for us, very natural for us to do, as we understand better what customers really want to eat for delivery, as we understand better what are the challenges restaurants struggle with. It's very natural for us to move into that space and to either work together with restaurants and offer them a very easy and fast infrastructure to further expand their store footprint and their delivery footprint. And on the other hand, identify gaps where we see that customers in specific areas do not have a good enough offering of delivery services, and simply there are not enough restaurants around. And then very strategically, in combination with restaurants partners, work on filling those gaps together.
So does that mean that you will be transferring food within your partners to this dine-in restaurant, and from there it becomes a new delivery center? Is that how it works?
There's different strategic plays around this business model. The most prominent play is that we are looking into procuring restaurant like kitchen space and working together with restaurant partners who do want to expand faster, who do want to offer their services more broadly to a bigger population, and then partner with those together and support them in kind of operating from a kitchen which is 100% focused on delivery. The advantage of that is that it's very efficient and capex low for restaurant partners to move into such spaces. It's also very risk-free. And on our side, the advantage is that we complete the offering we have towards the customer. And on the other hand, we really bring our logistics efficiency, our operating model to the next level. We were talking earlier about the challenges of having low margins in this industry. Using shared kitchens, which are optimized for delivering food and preparing food, really improves this whole margin structure. And therefore, it is something very, very interesting for us to further invest and grow in.
Okay, Jacob, perhaps if you can move on to another challenge that you could be facing, which is the digital tax that is going to be introduced by the Malaysian government. How will this upcoming digital tax affect your bottom line?
I mean, we've been working with the regulator in Malaysia since many, many years. Malaysia has a fast-changing regulatory environment. So far, we have been very adaptive in kind of catering to that. Frankly speaking, we are operating a very efficient model. If there's additional costs coming towards this industry in Malaysia, of course, this is never great news, right? But on the other hand, we are confident that we are the company which is best to kind of handle that and work around that. So I do not foresee any significant impact on our business on that. And it will definitely not reduce the appetite from our side to further invest into the Malaysian market. Because we are not here for the short term. We really believe in the potential of Malaysia in the next 3, 5, 10 years to come. And that's why we are investing so much in this market.
you know, speaking about staying in the long run. Now, many startup tech companies, they have an end game in mind, which is also, at the end of the day, will be their turnaround plan. So, for an example, Uber and Grab, they eventually aim to have self-driving cars as well as, you know, being a lifestyle application provider. Can you share with us, what is Foodpanda's end game plan?
Yeah, of course. I think there's always the idea of very disruptive, game-changing technology. You mentioned the example of self-driving cars. Of course, much closer on that horizon is drone delivery, as many aspects of that are much, much easier. So this is definitely something which the industry is anticipating and working towards, and which will then again change a bit the structure and outlay of this industry, because it will open up many, many more options and opportunities, and eventually will lead to an even better customer experience. I think another very interesting trend which we are very, very closely looking into is so-called dark kitchens. Yeah, it is a bit related to the shared kitchen concepts which we talked about earlier. Dark kitchen is something which is on the horizon, which basically means highly automated, highly automated food productions in dedicated locations. A simple way of putting it is, like some machines which cut up salads or cook pizzas. But the opportunities of that are very, very endless. And it's very fair to assume that in some time, in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years to come, those dark kitchens will be able to produce very high quality food, even higher quality than what we have at the moment, with a fraction of the labor cost and in general a fraction of the all over cost. And again, that I think end of the day, customers will benefit from that because they will receive great food options for lower prices, and that will also help to propel the food delivery business then once more to another level.
Jacob, that definitely gives a lot to think about and a lot of questions will be raised. But maybe, you know, since we're running out of time, but so what we want to know is one of the possible end game. How about a merger? I mean, are you looking to merge with any of your competitors?
And I thought you wanted to talk about the technology. No worries. But of course, very fair point to raise. It's very clear, I think, to all players in the market that there are very, very strong winner-takes-it-all dynamics. Yeah, there's a lot of economies of scale going on here. There's a lot of mechanisms which favor the market leader. Therefore, also the strategy of Delivery Hero and the strategy of Foodpanda is to be in all of their markets market leader. In such industries, naturally, mergers and consolidation is a strategic option. And so I don't foresee anything very concretely in Asia, but of course down the road that is always an option, and very long term this industry will move towards that.
Okay, just one last question.
Sure.
Jacob, what would you say to assure your loyal customers and your employees that Foodpanda is here to stay for the long run?
Look, we've been around for the long run, since 6 years in Malaysia. For us, always our partners come first. Yeah, customers, restaurants, and riders, and particularly for the customer, we focus on the most important aspects of this business. Yeah, we focus about the fastest delivery with the best assortment of restaurants to the best price possible. With the highest convenience. And that is, at the end, what keeps our customers loyal to us and what keeps them stay around.
Great. Thank you so much, Jacob. All the best to you, and thank you for being on The Breakfast Grill. That was Jacob Angela, CEO of Foodpanda Asia Pacific. You have been listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Sharitz Abdullah for BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile. Now with faster speeds every day. Barula Bes.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.